SACB's Matt Barrows joins us right now, our 49er insider. Matt, how the heck do they stop Cam Newton?
Well, I don't know. In addition to all those superlatives that Chip Kelly was saying, you know, a big difference between Cam Newton now and in the Super Bowl is that he's got his favorite receiver, Kelvin Benjamin, is back. He wasn't around for the for Super Bowl 50, and he had a big game in Week 1 against the Broncos, and that's just another thing that the 49ers have to deal with. Sort of a night and day difference between the quarterback they're facing Week 2 versus the one that they had in Week 1.
And the Broncos, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say this, probably a better defense than the Niners.
Yeah, maybe just a teenth. Maybe just a teenth better.
So you have Kelvin Benjamin back, who off the knee injury, had a phenomenal rookie year and looks like he hasn't lost a step. But then on top of that, you got a speedster like the former Niner, Teddy Ginn, and then Greg Olsen, who may be the best tight end in the league, not named Rob Gronkowski. So that secondary is going to be massively tested.
Yeah, and you've got a Panthers team that is coming off a loss. I feel like that's always more difficult when a team wants to avenge a week earlier. And obviously had played on Thursday night, so they've got 9 days of rest. So all the cards are stacked against the 49ers. This will be a really interesting test. I mean, Jim Tomsula's team went through the same thing last year, and they failed miserably. It was a real flop, and it set the tone for the next, eight, nine games or so. This will be a test of Chip Kelly, and to see whether he can get his team more ready. There's no other way to put it. I mean, that was one of, to me, Jim Harbaugh's strengths. Harbaugh's teams would go on the road, and they would usually win, and they certainly wouldn't get blown out. They almost went undefeated that first year. I think it was just a game at Baltimore on a short week on Thanksgiving that he lost that year. So that'll be the early test, the early litmus test for Chip Kelly and the new 49ers.
Matt, I don't know that there is a single person, fan, or quote-unquote expert that expects the 49ers to be able to get this win. However, having said that, is there something that they can do that this would be considered a win for them other than the actual W?
Well, like I said, I mean, keeping it close against the team that won the NFC last year, I think would be, obviously not a W, but a moral victory and a confidence boost for this team. Like I said, the 49ers went on the road last year and they just got trounced. And it wasn't just the Steelers game. They got bounced the next week in Arizona. And so they got a very similar scenario coming up with the Seahawks coming right after, right on the heels of this Carolina game. So if they come out and play well and keep the game close, and if that defense plays as well on the road as it did at home the other night, to me that's a nice confidence boost to say that, you know what, we're gonna compete this year and we've got a shot at this NFC West. Like I said, there's a lot of things going against this team going on the road on Sunday.
From an offensive perspective, other than just keeping the game close, What change do you need to see in terms of what they do execution-wise against a very good Panthers team for it to be considered your moral victory?
Well, one of the things that was absent, I thought, in the Rams game, as well as the 49ers played, I figured that when Chip Kelly's offense got going, it would have a snowball effect that, once it got going, they would really start to weigh down on the Rams' defense. There would be a rhythm established that the offense would be better at the end of the game than it was at the beginning of the game, and it wasn't. It was disjointed. It was halting. Once they got a lead, they seemed to give the ball back very quickly. The two teams combined for 7 punts in the third quarter, 4 of them by the 49ers. So, in terms of rhythm and pace, I think that there's still a lot that this offense can do. And I think that's partially because, Jeremy Curley was brand new. It seemed like some of Blaine Gabbert's bad throws, and there were several. I mean, that game could have swung on a pick six. The Rams had a couple of opportunities for that. I thought that usually in those scenarios, Gabbert was shooting for Jeremy Curley, his new slot receiver, who just arrived 2.5 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So they're not quite on the same page yet. My point being that there is room for improvement. So sort of the silver lining of all of that is that Gabbert and that offense can get better. There's room to get better, and they need to do that, obviously, Sunday in Carolina.
Matt Barrows with us on KHDK. Matt, Greg Olsen always creates a tough matchup, obviously. I want to talk about how that relates to Navarro Bowman. He was obviously recognized last year for having a great comeback season, but there were a lot of questions as to whether his coverage skills had returned to where they were pre-injury. Now, we've just seen one game, but do you think he's back at a point where he can, I don't know, at least compete with Greg Olsen come Sunday?
Yeah, at least compete. You know, Patrick Willis in his prime would cover the team's best tight end. And, you know, as fast and as good as Patrick Willis was, he still sometimes got beat in the end zone and, for big plays like that. To me, what's intriguing is the way that the 49ers use that three safety look. Remember, they picked Jaquaski Tartt last year in the second round, and they felt like he was one of their better defenders, and they figured out ways to get him on the field. And one of the ways they do that is to put him at safety and to put Eric Reed up at the line of scrimmage. And I'm just wondering whether against a team like the Panthers that has a very good tight end like Greg Olsen, whether that's the answer to put a big safety like Reed down there in the box and to let him cover him. You know, I think that'll be interesting to see how the 49ers handle that. And it could be, if it's successful, a template that they use for the rest of the season. Jimmy Graham coming up against the Seahawks and so on and so forth. So I'd be looking for that Sunday in Charlotte.
Matt Barrows with us. Matt, more likely to happen this Sunday, the Niners get close to the offensive success they had against the Rams or the defensive success they had against the Rams?
Yeah, I'd say it's the latter, just because the Panthers have such a good defense themselves. And, to their credit, the 49ers had the Rams confused, I thought, on offense. All those packages, one of the ones I just mentioned, coming in, and apparently they've got a few more tricks up their sleeves. So I thought that was that was a good sign that the 49ers could use so many different packages, and they didn't end up confusing themselves. So that it's being done in a cohesive manner, which I don't think was always the case last year. So everybody obviously understands what they're doing. And, more to the point, the defensive coordinator has put the right guys in the right situation, the right guys in the right spot. So I think that's a good sign of things to come.
Matt Barrows of the Sack Bee joining us this morning. With all the news coming out of week one and specifically the helmet-to-helmet hits with Cam Newton, there's been so much discussion over that over the last week plus. Do you think that the 49ers defense needs to be careful going up against Cam Newton because of all of that?
Yeah, you're asking if the 49ers could suffer from
yes.
what the Broncos did a week earlier. Yeah, that's always the case, especially when it comes to quarterbacks. I do believe that the officiating crew will have a sharper eye out for those things. And
you mean
hopefully
an
the
eye
49ers
open?
Know that as well.
Matt, the Niners secondary, especially Tremaine Brock, they drew a lot of praise for their performance Monday night, and there are a lot of variables there. Case Keenum stinks, the Rams stink, their wide receivers stink, and they don't have a very aggressive scheme in the passing game. But my question is, how much praise do those guys deserve, and how much of it was just the Rams being really, really bad?
Yeah, I think it's a case of, 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other. The Rams are indeed very bad. And, like the 49ers, they've really kind of struck out at wide receiver a lot of times, Tavon Austin being the exception. But, the 49ers played well. And Tremaine Brock is a guy who, for years and years, we'd watch him in practice in the off-season and the preseason, and he would just shine. He would make a lot of interceptions, and you would think, okay, this is the year this guy really breaks out and has a great season, and he inevitably would get hurt, and you would never see that potential. And you started to see it with a couple of batted balls and pass breakups Monday against the Rams, and you just wonder if he could stay healthy for a while. I mean, he's just at the right point in his career. I think he's something like 27 years old. I mean, in the meaty part of the curve as far as a cornerback is concerned, and this really could be his year. And an aggressive cornerback like him, you would think, would excel in a defense that Jim O'Neill has drawn up. I mean, has a chance to make a lot of plays, a lot of interceptions. Things are stacking up for this to be Tremaine Brock's year.
So what did you see about the way that that they're drawing up that defense? I mean, you know, remember under Vic Fangio, they were very conservative, rarely sent more than four guys after the quarterback.
Right.
And you could see they were not afraid to bring pressure at Case Keenum. How aggressive is this scheme going to be?
Well, it was interesting because they were bringing pressure, but they weren't always blitzing. They were bringing pass rushers from different spots. The cornerback, I saw the slot nickelback rush the passer a couple times. That was Jimmy Ward. Eric Reed, I mentioned, was playing along the line of scrimmage. He rushed a couple times. Tart even rushed from the deep safety spot. So it wasn't so much that they were bringing, you know, five, six guys. It was that they were bringing players from different angles. And I think that's going to be an interesting thing on Sunday. I mean, the Panthers saw that. The Rams never saw that because the 49ers didn't do it in the preseason. The Panthers have the benefit of watching that game, and they're not going to be as surprised when the nickel cornerback comes off and starts running to Cam Newton. He's going to have an answer for that. So the question is, you know, what's the next chess move by Jim O'Neill and the defense? Can they keep offenses on their toes? Can they keep things fresh enough that they can do things that are not expected?
Matt Barrow is joining us, and the analysis of the Niners is predicated on the Ram asterisk and not really knowing, you know, because of how crappy the Rams appear, what the Niners are. But Carlos Hyde specifically, he looked as good as he's looked to you since he's come in the league. You worry about the injuries. I thought he looked phenomenal against the Rams.
Yeah, he did. He looked fresh and, looked hungry. And that opening touchdown run was, a great run just because of what he didn't do. I mean, he was patient and he waited for those guys to cut across his nose and make key blocks. And he, you know, as he said after the game, the Red Sea parted and he just sort of waltzed into the end zone. The concern is that he's still taking a lot of big hits. I thought there were a couple of times that he could have gotten out of bounds and sort of avoided a gang tackle. And that was where he got in trouble, I thought, last year. He gets caught, and he's still fighting for extra yards, and he takes on the first tackler, and, they're sort of at a standstill. And then two other guys come in and, take him to the ground. And that's where these ankle knee injuries tend to happen. It's just something that he's just got to get a better feel for it, know when to pick his battles. I hate to say this, but I watched him in that game and I said to myself, gee, that's a running back that is not going to make it through 16 games. He just took too many sort of twisting, body contorted type of hits there, by the Rams defense. And you just worry about whether that can withstand a 16-game schedule.
Matt, are there any injury updates for either team that you have on your radar going into Sunday?
No, that was one of the benefits of the Rams game. There weren't any major injuries. You saw Andrew Tiller, the right guard, leave for about seven plays or so. But he came back and seemed to be fine by the end. And he was the really only significant injury coming out of that game. So the things to watch for are, Eric Armstead is still limited, but, for the life of me, it seemed to be playing pretty well with that shoulder against the Rams. Mm-hmm. And then Glenn Dorsey is coming back from that ACL, and he's going to get, worked into the mix at some point and should be a significant contributor by, you know, mid-season, by the end of the season. So he's another defensive lineman that they can rotate in and keep that line fresh so that, you know, unlike the Eagles of past years, they can be, you know, firing on all cylinders by the end of the season.
Matt, a guy that got a lot of kind words in the preseason was Trent Brown. How did he fare in his first major action of the year?
I thought that he was excellent. I mean, I thought he was really good. That last touchdown by Carlos Hyde, it was just a one-yard carry, but I was watching Trent Brown on that play, and he just basically walked his guy into the end zone, and Carlos Hyde got behind Trent Brown and followed him in for an easy score. You know, Trent Brown, you know, it's all about motivation, and he seems to be, you know, he's got Anthony Davis playing behind him, which I think is probably a good thing for this scenario. He knows that he can't afford to slip up because there's somebody quality, is a quality player behind him who is very eager to come in and take on a starting role. So, you know, as long as Trent Brown is focused, as long as he's motivated, he's just got uncanny size. Nobody else has that size in this league. And, you know, even guys like Von Miller say that he's a hard guy to get around. So that's a real difference, I think, between the 2015 49ers and this year's version.
When you mentioned that motivation, I didn't watch him specifically the whole game, but on the occasions that I did, it appeared that he's kind of got that motor that you talk about sometimes with defensive guys, where he would get off the ball and he would run through one guy and get to that next level and maul two or three different guys on the same play.
Yeah, and I think by the end of the game, when you couple that with you know, an offense that can run at the pace that Chip Kelly's can, you know, that starts to wear down a team, and that's exactly what Kelly and the 49ers are looking for this season.
Last thing for you, Matt. It lost in all the hullabaloo over this big victory and the shutout was Torrey Smith. 2 catches, 13 yards, and you wonder the way Blaine Gabbert is this just a matter of they took what the defense got them, or are you worried that Torrey's going to kind of be lost being a deep threat and Gabbert maybe not being able to fire the ball in there?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I wrote a story today about how well the 49ers have done with sacks in the preseason and in week one. And there's a quote at the end from Gabbert where he says, you know, I think a lot of quarterbacks get into trouble on third down where they stand there and they're waiting for that deeper throw that gets them the first down, when really they should just kind of take what the defense gives them and let the receiver, you know, take it on a shallow pass and then run for the first down. You know, that's obviously telling you that Blaine Gabbert is settling for those checkdowns, which he's criticized for, and Torrey Smith does not run a lot of checkdown routes. So, yeah, if I was Torrey Smith and I read that quote, I'd be worried about getting the ball. You know, obviously Blaine Gabbert hit Torrey Smith on some big passes last year, but it wasn't a regular thing. They were sort of some, you know, picking and choosing when to take chances on that deep ball. It was not a routine throw for Blaine Gabbert. If you've got Torrey Smith on your fantasy team, you may want to trade him in for somebody else, maybe Jeremy Curley.
An alumnus of both Virginia and Northwestern, he's been covering the 49ers for 13 years now. His favorite player is Daryl Green. These are all things you can find out at SACB.com with the lovely and talented Matt Barrows. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Matt.
Anytime, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, have a good one.
Take care. That is Matt Barrows with a lot of info on those 49ers. It'll be interesting. It's an interesting perspective from Niner fans, which I can relate to. You're not even looking for a win this weekend.
I am, damn it. Super Bowl bound.
Looking for a non-embarrassment.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. We'll take a break. We'll come back.
I'm way too excited.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you really?
I know they're not going to win.
I just thought about this.
How are you going to watch it, though? I asked them before. I'm like,
you can't,
you're probably
right?
not going to see any football this weekend.
I mean, things on Saturday, so Sunday morning I'll wake up. I'm going to be in Chico, dude. There's no shortage of places to have 7 or 8 Bloody Marys and watch the Niners
that
get their
That is not
crap
happening.
The first morning of your honeymoon marital bliss.
Yeah.
And you're going to
be... That'll be a fail.
No, I don't think so.
No, that's true. I mean, she kind of knows what she's walking
she
into.
She does.
Let's see.
That is why like she is an new angel.
First day of them being married, she's going to have to drag him naked and drunk back into their room. It's like, well, that's a sign of things to come. We'll be back momentarily with Grant Napier speaking to Naked and Drunk on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.